Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Marcus, I love you.
Oh.
Never leave me.
I just like you, but I'm sure it'll grow to love.
It's time for the only show in football that has genuinely got enthusiasm for the FA Cup. And it is genuine.
Of course it is.
Very much so.
We love the FA Cup.
It's a bold claim.
I think a lot of people, don't you get the impression, a lot of other people are a bit like, oh, Premier League off for a week. Whoa, come on.
Some people, but not literally all of them.
They could be the same people who don't like international breaks.
Exactly. Not even that. Some people don't even like the tournaments.
No. Yeah.
They do. They're out there.
I know, this sounds absolutely mental. There are some people who don't even like football at all.
Yeah, they're out there and they've got medieval weaponry.
An early mention for the medieval things. Right, Derby versus Manchester United, kicking off the fourth round of the FA Cup. And it's a lovely one, isn't it? Because it's at Derby.
Yeah.
Mind you, even if it was Old Trafford, I mean, they just about got through against Sheffield United.
I did think for a while it was at Old Trafford, and I was going to instantly say, bet 365 odds on a 0-0 at half-time, a 13-8. It's not at Old Trafford, so exactly.
Yeah. Lump a load of cash on that.
Yeah.
Derby, sorry, Marcus. Derby haven't won in five league games. They lost 4-1 to Burnley on Monday, and I still think, man, doesn't matter. Mm,
but it's about...
still got a chance.
It's about cup games, though, isn't it?
It is. It's about cup games, and it's about this very weird Man United side.
I know, this is surely one for Derby to think, we can have them.
Yep.
And the fans know it. That's the difference. When there is an atmosphere in the stadium where the fans are thinking, come on, there's expectation here.
What's the opposite of a fear factor? Because that's what Man United are inspiring at the moment.
A fear factor.
A comfort factor.
Yeah, I guess so.
For me,
an expectant factor.
When Manchester United started doing this,
sounds a bit like X Factor.
This season under Van Gaal, I think a lot of us were a bit like, "This is great for the show because it's very interesting. We know what's going to happen." And then we started doing a preview show, and it's impossible to preview because we don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
we don't even know what players he's going to pick, let alone how they're going to get on. I mean, didn't they sneak past Sheffield United in the last round, Manchester United?
Yes.
And the derby of what, maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, you think they got a real chance.
Yeah.
But they have, as Jim just mentioned, they've had a bit of a wobble. One in five league games.
But we like to play up to these kind of narratives, don't we? And this is the kind of game in which Derby will think we've been derailed slightly of late. This is a chance
Let's
to get us back on
break
track.
Yeah. The championship. Yeah. Nice, easy one.
That's right.
There's a reason it's been selected for television.
That's right.
On a Friday night.
Yeah.
There's a reason. And it always happens in the FA Cup, and Derby, of course, are a big team and they're in the second tier, but sometimes when a Premier League team goes down to, say, a non-league team or a League Two team, the manager of the Premier League team invariably on the BBC always says, well, there's a reason you lot are down here, isn't there? There's a reason why you're all
down
here.
Right? Yeah.
I reckon that's what the manager probably will say on his team talk to a Premier League team when they're playing a lower league team. You know what, the cameras are here. Don't give them the satisfaction.
Yeah.
Do not let them in.
Little slugs.
Let's have a regulation 2-0 win.
But I'm a crowd pleaser. Yeah. I'm a crowd pleaser. I want to make people happy.
I've seen you play. You're not.
Yeah, I'm not. I think Derby really could do something here. And I would love it if they did. I'd love the FA Cup to be like the Premier League this season, in which a really unfancied side suddenly become one of the front runners to win it. You know,
when you go out, you get given a load of parachute money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose you do, don't you?
Not in every sense,
like
the Premier League. Mm. You know.
But Manchester United are favourites for the game still. They're 10-11, so they're odds on. But Derby are 3-1 with Bet365. So £10 on that gets you £40 back, £30 profit. So
What are the odds on a draw and then in the last minute Man United getting a penalty?
Draw is 12-5. I'll give you that much of it.
I'd like to see how Chris Martin's going to get on.
At that level. You're doing the half-time entertainment?
Not that one.
Oh, okay.
You silly man. But yeah, I mean, he's been a very consistent player for them, hasn't he?
I'd love him to play Chris Martin of Coldplay up front and Chris Martin of Derby to do a song at half time.
That would be great.
And the absolute radio DJ Chris Martin, who I know quite well.
Oh, no one cares, mate.
Don't talk about your work, no mate.
Is it fair
I know
to
Chris
say?
As well, lovely fella.
If Chris Martin of Derby was to score an own goal and they went out after really, really coming close to beat Manchester United, could he do a rendition of I Never Meant to Cause You Trouble?
I mean, if you're fantasising about these things, you can do anything you want, mate.
What a weird...
How flights of fancy
I'm
work.
Only asking the question. I'm asking it on behalf of the many listeners who would have wanted that ask.
If you've learned anything about the last minute of this show, it's that we love the FA Cup, but we're not frightened to undermine it.
So we back to Man United, appropriately.
Yeah, we will bring it down to its knee.
We're undermining it,
Man United undermined it back in the Club World Cup days.
They did.
Yeah, that was disgraceful.
Shocking.
David Beckham was sent off in protest on purpose.
He did do that. Yeah. And he will do that.
Was that against Edmundo's team?
Vasco da Gama. I think he got sent off against the Mexican side, Necaxa.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sent off against Edmundo's team deliberately is just sensible, isn't it? You just take yourself out of the firing line.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'd lamp you as you went off and then he gets sent off.
But who am I marking? Edmundo. I've not heard of him. He's nicknamed what? The animal?
He got what? Drunk?
Well, they played Necaxa and they got a 1-1 draw and then they played Vasco da Gama, I think it was.
Yeah, they played them, definitely.
Was it definitely Vasco?
That's who Edmundo was playing for at the time.
Who was he playing up front with?
Romario
and Edmundo.
Romario and Edmundo tore them apart.
Imagine the pair of them down Crystal.
This is in the days where it wasn't so obvious that like European leagues were really, really dominant. And actually, that Brazilian side absolutely hammered Manchester United.
Yeah.
And I think it was Edmundo scored a goal where he kind of flicked it up.
It was a brilliant goal.
Dennis Bergkamp-esque. And who in the commentary box described it as the greatest goal I've ever seen?
Craig Brown. But Pete Dawson would have called it the greatest goal he's ever seen. I didn't know Pete then, but he definitely would have said that.
Yeah.
Pete would have definitely said that. He's no stranger to hyperbole.
I love it. That's what makes me happy.
And this is the true spirit of the preview show, talking about a now pretty much, well, no, it's not non-existent tournament, but a tournament that nobody really watches from about 10 years ago.
What, the FA Cup?
It was about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that at some point, I'm sure. Back at the FA Cup, MK Dons host Chelsea. And again, years ago, you'd say, nah. But this year it's...
I don't know, though. I think Chelsea seem back on track now, don't they?
Shut up, Jim.
Jim!
None of us
want it to be true.
Can they really get past Matthew Upson?
I'm going to say yes, they can.
Okay.
MK Dons aren't doing too well. They've got relegation issues themselves. Of course, they're in the Championship, which I think is the highest division they've been in.
But they'll want a distraction from that, Luke.
The thing is, as well, Chelsea...
An easy training run out.
Yeah. Chelsea are going to play a strong team, aren't they? Because if they can win the FA Cup, it will not turn this season around, but it'll be a great way to get some redemption.
Jim, so they won't fancy going all the way up there about an hour and a half in the car.
No, they don't seem to fancy football in general, do they? That's certainly been the case for most of the season. But I think, the fun's over.
Chelsea have only got two more points in the league than MK Dons. If you're looking for angles,
well, different, very different leagues. Aren't
they? Well, the fact remains.
Angles.
and Championship, to be fair, have played quite a few more games as well. But that's not the point. That is not the point.
Yeah.
But I think you're right with the. We talked about this before. Last time we did a preview, FA Cup type preview, it was a bit like normally you'd be like, but now with Chelsea and Manchester United being in the sort of type of form they're in, you're like, well, you never know. And it's at MK Dons as well.
Hey,
so.
It's the FA Cup.
MK Dons are 8-1. MK Dons are 8-1, which I think is a very generous prize.
Very generous.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea 1-3, so 3-1 on. Very, very short. But I think MK Dons, okay, they're not in great nick, but they've showed something in patches. And Chelsea, you know what they're like when they go a goal behind, although, as Jim said, the fun might be over. I don't want to believe it is. I actually feel a little bit aggrieved you've brought it up. But at the same time, I know you're right.
Very true. Former Chelsea player Fernando Torres could move to China and become the highest paid player in the world.
This January transfer window, everybody seems to want to go to China.
Yeah, have you seen the players that are out there? Because obviously Ramirez has just gone there. He's 28, so he must be getting a lot. Gervinho's gone there.
He has,
Freddy Guarin from Inter has gone out there as well. And already
he's 29,
there,
I think.
Yeah, still though. Already there, there's Tim Cahill, Asamoah Gyan, Paulinho, Demba Ba, Scolari and Sven are managing out there. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Well, it's not crazy. They're just like people that like money being paid loads of money. But it's new, at least.
I'm surprised Adebayor hasn't made a schlep out there. But I think...
As soon as he gets his 100 Premier League goals, which is what he wants, because he's on 96, he'll be off.
Laters, I've only got my visa signed up.
You can't move in March.
Watch me.
Are we being a bit disrespectful to China as a country? I'm sure it's a very interesting place to go.
No. We're not being disrespectful not the country, to the country. Come on.
Some people might want new experiences. Try something a bit
different. No, that's not what we're saying. How weird.
But they've got, they're having like training expeditions to Spain. So a lot of
training
the players,
expeditions. I love the thought of that. You've got a hike there.
Yeah, they got little training camps. A couple of the teams are out in Spain. So it's been very easy for like players like Czech Tioti to go out there and give a lot of demands to them. And Czech Tioti has not gone.
Asamoah Gyan's been on the money tour for a while, though, hasn't he?
He's been loving it.
Yeah, he's
long gone. He's Colonel Kurtz, isn't he?
He's played his hand, and it was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete, I think your point was brushed over there. I think we should rewind on that. Given what's going on, Czech Tioti has priced himself out of a move to China, which you would think is impossible, given what's gone on this
week.
His
cards had 57 in the pack. He misplayed his Ma Yong hat hand massively.
Yeah, that's like if we could... resurrect dinosaurs, or whatever the right word would be, like a la Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Resurrect them, like Jesus.
Yeah. Well, bear with me. I said if that's the right word.
I'm on board.
Thank you.
Carry on. Yeah.
And the big one that Richard Attenborough has just found.
Yeah.
That's like the actual park, Jurassic Park, saying, "No, that dinosaur's too big for us.
It's not going to go." I can imagine Asamoah Gyan, Tioti, with his agent, and his agent saying, "Look, good news, you've got interest from China. I mean, you can pretty much name your price $1 billion.
Money in the world.
Yeah, you can't. Well, hang on a minute. No, it's $1 billion.
You sell him a price. Name it.
$1 billion one.
Or 200 million a week. $1 billion. Oh, sod off.
What's he going to do? It happened to Rivaldo when he was out of contract at Barcelona, or he was certainly going to leave Barcelona.
Went to Milan.
He did eventually, but I'm not sure if you guys remember, but for a period of time, he essentially priced himself out of every club in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, no, is that not...
I'm worth this. And everyone was like, well, you're only really worth what someone is willing to pay you. No, I'm worth this. And I'm not going until someone gives me that.
Yeah. Was that not after Milan he went and played in Greece?
No, it's before that.
Or was it before that?
Yeah, it was before that.
Okay. I just think if you give such a high number, the step down is too far away from what they're willing to pay that you just... It is pricing yourself out.
It's humbling.
And self-respect,
isn't it? It's humbling.
It's a 29-year-old footballer having some self-respect, which isn't right.
Because no one in real life does that. I mean, if you're going to get a job and then you ask about the salary, no one really sort of says, oh, actually, I want 30 grand a year more than that. Certainly not in the UK anyway. I don't know about elsewhere, but in the UK you're not really sort of brought up to do that. But in
football agents, though,
if you've got an agent, you do what you want. Unless you check the OTA.
You've not met my agent.
Or if you're a Chinese company, you can certainly at least try and do what you want. Did you hear about this story in Portugal's second tier? They are sponsored by a Chinese company called, I think it's Ledman or something like that.
Yeah, LED light manufacturer.
That's right, sorry. And the company stated, now I don't know what the sponsorship deal was, but obviously it would have been a pretty good injection of cash to a league which I would imagine is pretty bereft of money. I mean, Portugal as a country doesn't have a lot of money, of course, and the first tier outside the big three clubs, there's not a lot of money going around. So the second tier, you would very much expect to be the case. So the company's come along and sponsored the league, but they stated that one of their conditions was that the top 10 teams in that league have to include one Chinese player in their squads.
In their squad or in their first team?
Well, I'm not sure.
I think, the report I said it was in the starting lineup. But this is illegal, so it's not going to happen anyway. But
this is where I couldn't work it out, because it said something like in the starting lineup and they will have minimum usage or something.
So if it's a situation where potentially, I mean, I don't know too much about it because it's the first I've heard of it. But if you had a situation where, say, in the Premier League, you're allowed a 25-man squad, if they were then, say it was that case in the Portuguese second division, and they then said, we're going to expand that to 26 men, one of them has to be Chinese and they have to be in the squad, and that's for development purposes. And I have a huge problem with that.
I think that was
if it's first team starters,
that's a big problem. In starting lineups. I mean, regardless, I think that's illegal. But I mean, surely though, even if it was the case that you've got to have someone as a developmental player, that's still, surely that's not on. It's still not a meritocracy, is it? It should always be a meritocracy.
Start the season, cricket bat. Oh, Chang Pu's injured again. Oh, never mind.
So I think you're missing the funny side of this.
He's pulled that ligament again. Send him to Liverpool for a month on loan. His hamstring will be in pieces. Then your problem solved.
Oh dear, we're going to talk bit more about the FA Cup after this.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365. We're going to go straight to Aston Villa versus Manchester City. Oh, City win?
That's right. Wow. Someone had a good brick.
Jim, what are you thinking?
I think it probably will be a City win, won't it?
Oh, Aston Villa undefeated in 3 league games. Careful.
Well, yeah. You know, that's the trouble for City, isn't it?
Unlike MK Dons and Derby, Aston Villa can take that form into the cup.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
And unlike any other team in the league, Man City can literally play by their own rules based on what happened in the midweek with the ball going out of play.
Absolutely.
So that's an interesting angle they haven't exploited before.
Yep. De Bruyne being injured is massive, obviously. So that's, you know, that could make them a little toothless, but I doubt it. I mean, you wonder how much Villa are sort of going to give, almost. Because I'm not saying for a moment that they'll sort of roll over and go, yeah, we need to concentrate on the relegation battle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, their priorities in terms of actually doing something in the FA Cup will not be as high as City's, because they want to get some silverware, you know. Mm-hmm. They want to compete on every front. It's a big part of that club's philosophy.
Villa know how to get to a final, Jim.
They do, actually.
And they'll be battling the linesman after that goal that Man City's got. Yeah. De Bruyne's goal.
Not only have they, you know, been picking up points of late, they've been a lot better as well. They have just been doing the basics right, as we've been saying that they should do all season.
And but the problem is, though, Jim, it's come far too late for them. I do understand they're going to keep up the fight and try and battle against relegation, but they're 10 points in the soup. And it's unlikely, really, isn't it? I mean, if, mind you, if they carry on the way they're going, they're probably... I mean, they've got 4 points from their last... No, they've got more than that, haven't they? They've got 5 points in the last 3 games. So they've won.
Get a load of them.
Yeah, so if they carry on that way, they might have a chance. Mm. But let's be realistic here. I mean, 10 points in the soup, they're not going to get out of it.
Yeah, League soup. The cup of soup is very
different. It's true. Yes, Jim.
It's true. They might flip it around, but I don't see them doing that.
I mean, it might be that old cliche, though, that it's a break from the league and you know, it gives them players a chance to express themselves and play with a bit of freedom. But nothing to lose against City. They're not the favourites.
We said that earlier on in the show, Jim.
Yeah, but, you know.
Backing up our earlier points.
Indeed.
I like that.
Throwing more weight behind it.
Pellegrini could win the quadruple, couldn't he? The League Cup's on.
Yeah.
The League Cup is on, Jim.
I don't think the League Cup's a tough one in that four, though, is it?
All right. The Premier League, still on.
Yeah.
They should beat Aston Villa, and obviously they're in the Champions League, and that'll take care of itself. wouldn't it be sensational if he won the quadruple? We've seen managers win the Champions League and then be moved on, and we heard, was it Jupp Heynckes at Bayern Munich who won the treble. And he moved on. Imagine if he won the quadruple.
Well, Bet365 got it for 150-1.
What's that?
For them to win all four.
That's actually not that bad. That's crazy.
It isn't that bad, is it?
150-1.
Get your quids on that.
The thing is, though, if he did win the quadruple... You can only equal it. You can't better it.
You can't.
You know, move him on. Why not?
Yeah. If I was Pellegrino, I won the quadruple, I would instantly quit.
Yeah.
I would just quit. There's no point. No point sticking around. It'd be the greatest single gesture in management history.
I would never take the medals off.
No, I would.
I'd never work again. No. I'd just always have the medals
on. The club is conspiring behind your back all season trying to get another supervisor in. Yeah, in front of everyone's face. And
I wouldn't leave. I would say, I want to move upstairs.
Yeah.
And I would remind everybody every week.
I'd call the meeting with the manager every week, and I'd have the trophies in the meeting room.
Of course, yeah.
How are you getting on?
Have you won one of these yet? It's October, so I'll take that as a no.
Come back when you have. You can't call me back in it.
They keep pushing Frank Cradru into the room. We're almost there.
Come back in here when you've won one of them.
Yeah, that's
it. See you next week. Yeah, see you next week.
Do you get something special, like a carriage clock or a watch or something, if you won L4?
No, I don't think so, Pete. No,
I would love it if they replaced the Champions League trophy with a carriage clock.
imagine you've just lifted the fourth trophy of the season, the Champions League, against presumably another amazing team, and then they call you into a room and go, well done on all that. Got something like a little bit special for you in, and you unwrap it, and it's like a carriage clock that you get in the back of a magazine for like 20 quid or for taking out life insurance.
Yeah. Now clear your desk.
A commemorative dog plate.
Yeah. Presumably, if you lose the final, you just get a picture of a Spitfire.
You do, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Guardiola has been massively linked to Manchester City. Joe Hart said recently, I'm sure it would be a pleasure to play under Guardiola.
Oh, Tinny. There was a Real Madrid player, and I forget who it was. It's annoying. I can't remember who it was, but at the beginning of the season, yeah. It was a Real Madrid player who wasn't getting in the side, and Benitez was about to take over, and he did the most cringeworthy interview.
Oh yeah,
he was going, "I've always rated Benitez as the best manager in the world."
Was it Pepe, maybe?
No, it wasn't Pepe. It was someone who doesn't get picked.
Pepe would have just said,
it wasn't Isco. But it was honestly
was
so
it,
cringe.
Was it Michael Owen?
Is it Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah. Have you seen Matt Hummels keeps on the Dortmund skipper?
He's loving it, isn't he? He's loving it.
He keeps on talking up Klopp. He really wants to go to Liverpool.
There's
not a week goes by that he doesn't mention how much he loves Klopp.
Yeah, but there's not a week that goes by that he watches Liverpool at the back and thinks, I can't walk into this team on my hands. This will be the easiest job ever, and I'll probably get a pay rise. That's why he wants to
double his money, you would have thought.
Yeah, he would.
He would do. Carlisle are up against Everton. I think the League Two side, Carlisle, are the lowest placed side left in the Cup. And Everton are away there, but you would think Everton...
Are they not lowest placed in the league because they just haven't played any matches because their pitch was flooded for 10 months?
They've played... Accrington have been the worst affected by that in League 2, but Carlisle have been affected
by it.
But
in the Cup, left in the Cup.
Yeah, but Carlisle, they're not too bad. They're mid-table in League 2. Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, we talk about, Everton have got to go there and stuff. Everton can't keep clean sheets. No. They can't. And we said this...
But they can score goals.
They can, but what happens when the goals dry up?
What happens if they don't play Lukaku?
Do you think Martinez is under pressure?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this could be... I mean, if there's a slip-up here, that will really sharply bring it into focus. I mean, we've been saying amongst ourselves that Martinez is a couple of bad results away from maybe being under pressure in his job and that becoming a sort of a public narrative and one of those things where speculation starts and then it all just snowballs. And that hasn't happened yet, and hopefully it won't, because, you know, Everton, they tend to give their managers a fair kind of crack of the whip. But, I mean, a bad result here and that could happen. So you wonder if that's playing on their minds at all, or on certainly on his mind.
They're the most overrated team in the Premier League, as things stand. They're 12th in the table. Mm. I mean, people would think about them having a good season because they're scoring goals or in high-scoring games. In February, they play Newcastle, Stoke, West Brom. If they come out of that without some pretty showpiece results, they are going to be bang in trouble. They really are. Yeah. They're not going to get relegated.
Yeah, I mean, Stoke and West Brom are a real challenge there.
But they're 8 points off. They're 8 points off relegation, and they could be 5 or 6 if they have a poor February. What's happening there?
You're right. I don't think he's under that much pressure at the moment. If he doesn't come through those set of results, if the team don't, then he will become. But I think he'll have till the summer, because I can't imagine Everton being dragged into a relegation.
There's no one in the wings waiting to go in. There's just no one available for me.
Big Davey Moyes.
Big Davey Moyes have got that, yeah.
Big Davey Moyes. Yeah. What about Portsmouth versus Bournemouth in the Cup? It's a South Coast derby, Luke. You must be loving this.
I am. It's a South Coast derby. It's not the South Coast derby. But one thing that I'm not loving is I said, if we get past Ipswich, our fancy is against Bournemouth. Not really thinking we get past Ipswich.
Get drawn against Bournemouth.
Yeah, and now we are. And then I do think, I've got this theory, and I think I've mentioned it to you guys before, which is that...
Hubris first, failure later.
Just say what you want and then try and back up if you can at a later date. If you can't, don't worry about it. It's essentially that I think Portsmouth, from what I've seen this season, I've not seen them as much as many Portsmouth fans have, so I'll concede that. I think they're better against teams who come at them.
Yeah.
So the real problem Portsmouth had, they had a fairly poor home record around the start of the season in the first half of the season, I should say, because teams were setting up to frustrate them, they just couldn't break teams down. Away from home, they were fine because there was less pressure on them. They could just go out there and play. When they played Ipswich, they played them twice, don't forget. They were very, very unlucky not to get through in the first game. Ipswich got a late equaliser, and Mick McCarthy said Portsmouth deserved to win that game. In the replay, they beat them. And the reason they beat them is because Ipswich just came at them. Mm. And Bournemouth will do that. They'll have to do that. And I think that might play into Portsmouth's hands. I really do. I think they've got an excellent chance.
Pete, do you fear for Portsmouth?
I never fear for Portsmouth. Because,
yeah, don't. We can look after ourselves.
Yeah.
Can you?
Why?
Sometimes.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, didn't you
that
need the administrators?
Historically, it seems to have been the case.
I'm not going to say we
don't. If anything, that's been the problem.
We've possibly learned our lesson. Yeah, we've possibly
learned our lesson. Yeah. Now, that's hubris. That is hubris, Luke Miller. Yeah. My word.
One of the things, and I'd like to get your guys' input on this.
Great.
I sort of thought that the game should have been on TV. Is that me being
biased? I actually agree with
that. Yeah. That's rare that happens.
We haven't seen Fratton Park.
I don't mind Derby Man United be on TV. I think Carlisle, Everton, MK Dons, Chelsea.
Very gracious of you.
Liverpool West Ham on TV though, Jim? Is that just
as you've said before, it's just, you know, it's effectively a sort of pretend Premier League fixture.
They just want to do that, don't they?
Yeah. I agree that Portsmouth and Bournemouth should be on the TV.
It'd be a great atmosphere down there. It'd be a pumping atmosphere. It really will.
Without meaning to sound too cliched, there's a real sort of FA Cup spirit to that one. Because it's, you know, clubs from different divisions and it's a derby. Doesn't happen very often, you know.
Of course.
It's, yeah.
And I mean, the thing working in Bournemouth's favour, I think, is that they're not used to be, and I don't mean this in a patronising way
they're
at all.
Better.
They're not used to being in the top two South Coast teams. They're not. Mm. They're not really used to being anything more than an afterthought on the South Coast, really. And so for them to step up and actually get a chance to prove that they're one of, if not the best team on the South Coast now.
Is this their chance to prove themselves against one of the big boys?
Yeah.
You actually mean that. Oh, yeah, that's the best thing about
it. All I'll say is, Bournemouth, you've got a chance to earn some respect.
He does mean it, but we all mean it because this is the bet of the week.
It is the bet of the week. We're going for this.
I'm not getting behind this.
Come on! Pete, don't laugh because you promised.
Wait, what was your suggestion?
Luke's on a promise, everyone.
What was your suggestion for bet of the week that time?
Oh, I was busy. What?
Yeah.
Mitrovic to score a six and Newcastle to win 14.
Oh, something like that.
He's the new Shearer.
He's the new Shearer.
Luke, the bet of the week.
Luke's the new Moss.
Let's talk about who Newcastle have got in the FA Cup.
No, why are you even looking at the physical fixtures?
Come on, the bet of the week. They want the good people want to know the bet of the week.
It's Portsmouth to win.
Of course it is.
Mm. And can I just say as well, for the record, this was Marcus's idea, not mine. I said, I'll support it, I'll get behind it, I'll cheerlead it from the front.
That was it was a joke, and I didn't think it would get through.
I'll always be in Portsmouth's vanguard, but it was Marcus's idea. £50 at 2-1. If Portsmouth beat Bournemouth in the FA Cup, it's £150 going to Prostate Cancer UK. £100 profit.
Those are some good odds.
I think it's great. I think they've got a real chance. I really do.
Oh, they're lovely little odds.
But they have to win in the first leg, the first game. It can't go to a replay and they go through. It's not Portsmouth to qualify. Yeah. It's Portsmouth to win. And don't forget, you have to be over the age of 18 to bet. And please gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling,
please go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Play up, Pompey!
The only reason why I turn up, to be honest, is that little bit where I get to repeat what you say.
And this, have we got any emails, Pete?
We got three emails. Do you want me to read them out on that?
Fire away.
All right, then. This is Farram. I haven't got a name on this. Oh, yes, I have. Ross,
I thought you were going to say, this is Farage.
Farage, oh,
no, no, we don't want that.
That is Farage's here. It's from Ross Hamilton Milburn. Good day, Ramblers. I've got a 100% true story here. Why preface it with that? I don't know.
I think that sounds question sus, it now.
My dad's dad was a store manager at a popular and successful high street chain. I think you know where we're going on this one. One day at a work conference, he and other store managers were pulled into a side room by their slightly inebriated boss and were invited to play a game of cards. The boss said whoever won the game of cards, he would give a Ferrari to. My friend's dad won the game and, true to his word, received a Ferrari from his boss a few weeks later.
Oh, wow.
My friend's dad works for Sports Direct and his boss is Mike Ashley. This story took place in 2007 and a few months later he would buy Newcastle United. This is proof that Ashley's private business dealings are as erratic and bizarre as his control of Newcastle.
Wow.
And he says, cheers for the countless hours of entertainment. P.S. Jeff Goldblum is B-list.
These days you just get a mug from Sports Direct, don't you? Yeah. Big mug.
Well, he's learned his lesson.
I've got a mate who's really paranoid. Like, it's going to happen. He's really paranoid that at one point someone is going to give him or bequeath him a boat. And he will have to pay moorings fees and he'll have to pay upkeep for the boat. I think a Ferrari would be the same thing. You've got to pay like 40 grand into it every year.
If you moor a Ferrari,
I
don't think a high street insurance firm is going to insure you on that.
No,
I think you're going to have to go specialist.
Luke, if you got a boat, would you have to pay more?
It's the same rule for me.
Sam in Oxford, he's been to an event. Hi, Luke. I don't know why I said hi, Luke, and sent it to the show account.
I haven't even seen this email. Apologies in advance.
Well, I'm reading it to you right now. I'm like your personal assistant.
Yeah.
My highlight of the week is Harry Redknapp being invited to the Oxford Union to give a speech on how to become an effective wheeler dealer. That's probably not what
Redders will be there for. For a South Coast derby.
Yeah, will.
However, to the disappointment of many, his speech was not delivered through his car window. The true highlight came when a small lad in a shirt and jumper asked, what do you think of players coming out and how was it different in the past? To be fair to Harry, it was a rather poorly worded and delivered question, but I was certainly not expecting the reply that Harry gave, sounding more like a true Cockney geezer. Yeah, we used to go out every night down a Black Lion with the whole team, even before a match day. After raucous laughter from the majority of the audience, during which Harry had the question re-explained to him by the 18-year-old interviewer, he proceeded to try and string together a dignified response. However, after trying to start about 10 different sentences within a minute, a moment of awkward silence prompted the interviewer to move swiftly on. Not Harry's finest moment. P.S. Some of my favourite quotes of the night were, I'm not even sure I wanted the England job anyway.
Hey! Oh!
And he went on to speak for a good few minutes on how stunning Crouchy's wife is. He must wake up every morning and think he's in heaven. So there we go. Thank you very much, Sam in Oxford.
The Oxford Union has already been graced with such a
I know.
Oratory.
Mm. Yeah.
There we are.
Finally, for now, Aaron says, hey guys, big fan of the show, here to be pedantic, but I just wanted to point out on Tuesday's podcast in reference to less as possible overspending. Luke said, we all know what happened to the Romans when they flew too high for long. This was a reference to the myth of Icarus, which is, of course, Greek, not Roman. Keep it
no,
the
it wasn't.
Thank
it
you,
wasn't
Aaron.
Anything to do with that, actually. What I meant was, when they got a load of power, it went to their heads and the whole empire collapsed.
So you were using the metaphor of Icarus too. Yeah.
Did you realise?
I wasn't thinking about Icarus at all.
I heard the words waxy wings.
No, you didn't. Yes. Can I just say, I've just realised that guy said Jeff Goldblum B-list. That's poor.
But it's,
no,
it's well, I just let it go
it's
because
Ross Hamilton, and it's a different guy.
And we all know that when the new Independence Day film comes out, he'll be back.
Back on the pedestal.
Famed special league. Effects yeah. movie.
Carry across Independence Day, carry over Jurassic Park and not be A-list. What world we're all living in here.
Ridiculous. That's what we've got time for the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Do get in touch with us. The email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Shut up.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye, Mark.
Jeff Goldblum for the cup.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.